This is RSBNB Update, episode 519, recorded Friday, May 29th, 2015. Rip in peace, Shane. Hello, everybody, and thank you for joining us for RSBNB Update. Sitting in with Earth and myself this week is Magic King.
Hello.
Welcome once again.
Hello.
And, of course, that's
also
Earth,
here.
Are you the lovely.
Purple, like, speaking, Shane?
No, of course not.
Okay.
Yeah, the lovely Earth is here, right?
Lovely? So,
yeah, you're celebrated every day with Earth Day.
Wait, that's every day?
That's once a year.
Oh, I'm sorry, once a year.
I've not been getting enough presents.
Well, that is something we were just talking about, wasn't it? But anyways, so...
Are you guys, like, having conversations about me behind my back? I don't remember any of that.
No, of course not. But, so... This week we got two updates, one a little bit more impactful than the others, and one that, you know, just generally improves quality of life of the game. First one that I want to talk about this week is the Death rework that's been on the beta server for a while. I did something this week that I don't normally do, and I put my neck on the line. I actually went out somewhere and officially died for the result of this.
But you don't die. You never died on a quest, right?
No, that was in the spirit realm. That doesn't count.
It doesn't count? All
nope.
Right.
Though
making a reference way back for you new people, Shane claimed that he has never died on a quest. But then he did in Summer's End, but it wasn't in the spirit. It was in the spirit realm, so that doesn't count.
But Nomad's Requiem, does that count?
Yes.
Well, it's okay. A quest.
It is, well, that, a quest.
Well, Nomad was after the Summer's Quest, so I
so you'd
I got,
already failed.
No, but I killed Nomad on lucky number 13.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
All
Anyways,
right. So how did you
rework.
Die?
Well, I just did a fake, you know, Queen Black Dragon run and tried to see if I could kill the creature without using super anti-fires. I just used a regular anti-fire. And
how long did
frog.
It take you to die?
I made it nearly through the end of the first phase before I died.
Oh man, you get farther than I do just normally. Good on you.
Well, I try my best, and I mean, I have killed the thing a couple of times before, so it is a known quantity to me. But anyways, what happens when you die now? Anyone know? Anyone want to throw this out there?
Well, I know that you die when you are killed.
Evidently, yes.
Evidently, okay.
When something is killed, they are made deceased. But
mm-hmm.
When you die in RS, you don't actually die unless you're a hardcore Iron Man. And A hardcore Iron Man.
Iron Man?
Yeah, Iron Man.
You mean Iron Man.
Oh, I see that's beginning already, but anyways.
It's your own fault!
Well, I'm allowed to say things how they want. People say potato and potato, tomato, tomato, herb,
people
herb.
People say it wrong are wrong.
Oh, I need some help here. Help me.
No.
Iron butterfly.
Okay. That sounds like a new...
Who writes Indigata Davida?
Huh? What
it's
is
a song,
that?
And it was supposed to be in the Garden of Eden, but the guy, when he showed up to sing it, was just wasted, so it turned into Indigata Davida.
You know, that actually sounds like a somewhat decent name.
Uh-huh, but... So speaking of a decent name, how did you die? Or what happens when you die, rather?
Well, yes, thank you for getting this train back on the rails, but...
It's difficult. It's a difficult job, let me tell you.
Okay. Train engineer, Earth 271072. What happens is, you know, the same little demon thing greets you when you die, and you get taken to Death's House, which is south of Drainer Village. I mean, sorry, north of Drainer Village. And once you're there, you can talk to him, and you'll be given the option of choosing which items you want to keep and which items you want to discard. Now, each item has a specific value associated to it based on its grand exchange value. So, for example, items less than worth less than 10,000 GP, you need to pay 15% cost to save them. Between 10K and 50K, 500 GP plus 10% of the item cost. Between 50 and 250K, 3,000 plus 5%, and so on and so on. This keeps decreasing as you move along. Well, probably keeps going up because item prices go up. But all the way on the top end, say you lose something like a Drygor, you pay 70,500 GP plus 0.5% of the grand exchange value to get that item back. So you're not being charged
through
the nose.
What about something like a chaotic weapon?
That's a good question. I honestly don't have any of those, so I can't answer that.
Did you take any other untradeable items with you?
Yes, I took the Six Age Circuit and the First Age Amulet thing. I don't recall what the prices on those were, unfortunately. If I had to wager a guess out there, I'd say high alchemy value for those.
Okay.
So, I mean, you're not going to be charged through the nose, and it's a fair system. And in addition to the cost of saving these things, you can sacrifice certain items. So let's say you want to sacrifice, maybe you just got a load of dragon bones from the QBD that you took with you rather than banking them. You could sacrifice those, and that would offset the amount you have to pay. So it is possible to use what was in your inventory to pay for recovering items. So say you don't want your food, well, you can use those to offset the cost.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's not totally relying on the amount of GP that you have with you, but it still kind of works as a nice little GP sink to, you know, equalize the economy a bit, though people aren't going to be dying all that often. And there is one thing about this that I want to say that people were worried about when this update was first going to come around. And if you tell Death, hey, I don't want your services, he'll say, okay. And you'll be given a gravestone with a 5-minute timer, as you have always had before. So if you are somewhere where you can go and recover your gravestone, you can go recover your items like you used to without paying any cost at all. So that is still an option, should you choose that.
Wait, so the gravestones are no longer a thing. You die and you have to go to Death and get it.
Yes, you spawn at Death. But when once you appear at Death's house, there's an option to say, hey, I don't want your services, and he'll give you a gravestone.
Okay, but if you can't make it, you can't come back?
If you can't make it to your gravestone, well, you better use Death's services.
All right. Yeah. And he'll keep it at... He'll keep the items there for 24 hours, yes?
Yes, yes. And, you know, that's a very good thing as well, because if you log out, disconnect, the world goes offline, your power goes out, you're safe.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, you know, the number one cause, I think, of people losing items in RS. It's not that, you know, oh, we can't get to our gravestone. It's just that the world went offline or my computer died. So that's good. And it's also worth noting that you can use the gravestones, you can purchase the better gravestones, and those decrease the cost of sacrificing or saving at Death's house. So there is still a purpose to purchasing those, even though it's not outright. Which, you know, I think is a good mechanic, but I think the vast majority of people are just going to go with the standard set of what they have. And, you know, this isn't going to be an issue for most people, I don't think, because, well, how many people here die? recently on a Slayer task, right? It's not a common
thing. I can't think of the most recent time that I've died.
Exactly. And we have boss practice mode to prevent those kind of things, and safe areas, castle wars, quest instances, and whatnot. If you die in those areas, those will function as before, and you don't need to go through Death's House, so you're safe in that regard. So that is good. Let's see. Items that would have degraded on death won't do so if you reclaim them from death's storage, so that means that you remember how the Barrow's items used to degrade to zero? Well, that doesn't happen anymore.
Yay!
Okay, so that's probably how the dungeoneering works.
Yeah, that's true. And also, when you think about it, you used to have to pay to repair the Barrow's items, right? So in a way, when you think about it, by paying death, you're kind of paying for those repair costs of your dry gores, your Barrow's items, stuff like that.
Oh, so that's true.
Keep that in mind. Let's see. And you can return to death within 24 in-game hours if you wish to claim some of your items later. So that means if you need to go to the Grand Exchange, sell some stuff, make some money somewhere, you can do that and then come back and get what you need. So it definitely helps out in that regard. And I honestly think that once people experience the system and read through what we got here, it will be a lot less scary to think about a death rework, and people will prefer this system to the old system. I think from, you know, what I heard and, you know, just the general sentiment among the community is that the reason that this system doesn't seem to have been preferred over the old style of system is probably due to the fact that you have to pay with this. Would you guys agree with that assessment?
Yeah. But it's not an inordinate cost, so.
Yeah, and I mean, it's like once in a lifetime, but it is very rare.
See what you did there.
A joke, everyone.
It was unintended,
as usual. Unfortunately,
yeah. Just to give you an idea with my Drygor longsword currently, if I was to take that and lose it right now and take the price coming off that, I would be paying roughly 200k to salvage that item. Just the one Drygor mace.
Okay, so you can see how much it would cost you.
Yes.
If
yes.
Okay, that's cool.
And that's a really good thing. So, like, if you're, you know, trying to figure out the, let's see, if I dump these into the sacrifice pile, how much will I need? So it is possible to do that. And it updates right away as you're going, and the game gives you the most efficient option of what to save from the very beginning. And in all likelihood, this is going to be your armor and things that are worth the most.
That's cool.
Because you get the three items saved for free. Or four if you're using Protect from Item.
That's good.
Yeah, so overall, I think this is a lot better than we had before. And it's going to, you know, definitely decrease the stress of death. Because remember, there are some places in the God Wars dungeon that if you die, you need to get your teammate to bless your grave, go get kill count, and rescue your stuff.
Yeah, which is a little more than inconvenient.
Exactly. So overall, I think we're pretty good here. I'm just trying to see if there's anything we missed on that. PvPing in the wilderness, that's still the same as it was before. You know, get a stack of items that you can take. Let's see. Graves are now allowed in the Corporeal Beast's lair. Apparently that wasn't happening before. So
yeah, did you not? That was like the thing with the corp beasts.
Oh, is that why people liked it? Because it was so risky?
Well, no, because in the olden days it had really good rewards.
Right.
But, like, you've never been able to use a grave there.
Okay.
Yeah.
So high risk, high reward, basically.
Uh-huh.
All right. Makes sense. And of course, you can now also choose any gravestone appearance that you've unlocked, and you always get the benefit of the best one available to you. So that's, as I mentioned before.
Oh, that's cool.
It influences your cost. So you can go cosmetic, and I mean, you could have the little stick marker if you wanted to.
But you could still have the benefits of the dwarven one.
Exactly.
That's cool.
Yeah, so overall, very nice update, and going to prevent a lot of people from losing millions of GP in server outages or computer crashes, stuff like that. So if you are still confused about this update, or you think it's, you know, maybe a little bit concerning to you, definitely send us in a question to questions@rsbnb.com, and we'll do what we can to alleviate your concerns about the death system.
Death is not a scary thing, everyone.
Exactly. With a little help from some friends, we can get you through it.
Uh-huh.
Yep. Alrighty. Shall we move on to the D&D improvements?
Sure.
All right. So this is something that's been wanted for a while. You know, D&D, so many of them, it's a question, which ones do I do? And, I mean, some of them just didn't seem like they were worthwhile. So there's a couple of things I want to mention, then I'll turn this over to you guys, and you can mention any D&D updates that you think are worthwhile. But first off, Bork. He has been added to the D&D tracker, so you know when you can do him. And drop improvements previously unlocked with Varrock Armor 4 have been moved to Varrock Armor 3, and Varrock Armor 4 can now teleport you daily to Bork.
Oh, that's cool. I like that. Yeah. Because I would never, whenever I used to do Bork, I would never take anything really valuable because, you know, wilderness, right?
Yep. And chaos tunnels, potential being fried by a dragon, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Court cases now always reward a mystery box. Mystery boxes have been made more worthwhile, and a title is available now to all of those who completed all the court cases called The Detective.
Oh, good.
So you could be Lord Earth the Detective.
I could. Or it could be Lord Earth the Divine.
Yeah,
I think is kind of very perfect. Let's be real.
You are a divine being.
Thank you.
He's something.
Thanks.
Oh, that's great.
Shit I have to put up with.
Evil tree XP rates have been increased for the top three trees. Though, good. Evil trees, you just go and you cut because you got the thing on your hatchet, or the hatchet on your tool belt, rather. So
the
makes
thing
sense.
On your hatchet. The cutty sharp thing.
Yes, yes, that cuts fingers off. Yes, yes. Anyways. Familiarization now occurs exactly every 2 hours, and the triple charm reward is now given by a consumable ticket, so you choose when to use it. So it's not, oh, let's go do familiarization, then let's go kill something for charms. It's, let's go do familiarization, then decide in an orderly fashion when you're going to go kill something for charms. Which is very nice.
I like that.
Yeah, and you know, that's one of the reasons I never did familiarization when I was gathering.
You would have to go do it right then. And
exactly.
There's also time wasted, like, getting there.
Yep, that's right.
But now it's just something in your inventory you carry around?
Yeah, and you can only have one of them at a time.
Perfect.
So no stacking. Let's see. Goblin Flash Mobs is now free to play. Here's a good one. The Skeletal Horror now gives an Elite Clue Scroll.
Drops Elite Clue Scrolls every time now, so it's now worth it.
Yeah, and there's two free Elite Clue Scrolls every week with the Skeletal Horror and the Fishing Aquarium.
Uh-huh.
So, tons of chance to get those magical dyes. Anyways, what's jumping out of you? Well, the magical dyes, you know, that Paul got from his Elite Clue.
Oh, those kind! Okay, I thought you meant, like, dice, and I was like, what?
I said dyes, but I guess I was a little bit hard on the S.
Yeah, I've been playing a lot of Fallout New Vegas lately, so gambling kind of right there.
All right. Anything jumping out at you guys for D&D improvements? Those are just my favorites, but I'm sure there's lots here if you enjoy Fish Fingers or Phoenix or stuff like that.
The biggest for me was the Elite Clue Scroll thing. But they did make some changes to the challenge, what are they called? Champions Challenge. Did they change the drop rate to something more reasonable? Doesn't look like they did. So,
yeah. You know, there's actually a story about this Champions Challenge. You know, Mike and I have both been playing RS since before RS2, and shortly after RS2 and the Champions Challenge came out, Mike's sister was giving RS a try. And she actually got one of these scrolls. And since then, me and him have had one appear in our inventory.
Oh my god. Wow. That's really unfortunate.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, it would be nice to see those XP rates, or not XP rates, drop rates of these come up. Just a tiny bit, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But anyways.
Nope.
Anything else? Read or magic?
Magic King, you got anything?
Yeah, the new familiar from the Phoenix Lair. Pretty nice. It's a level 84 familiar. You have a chance to burn 2 logs at once when using bonfires. It requires 2 Phoenix Quills to make one. And it has an invisible +12 fire-making boost.
What does that get you in the end?
Yeah, because you can't use invisible boosts to burn different kind of logs.
I mean, you haven't. It's just apparently a thing.
Okay, I guess
because, like, if you're level 45 and you're trying to burn maple logs, like, okay, it'll take you many attempts to do that. But then, like, true. You're level 99 and doing it, then it doesn't really... You get it on the first try, like, every time.
Yeah, and I'm reminded now. I'm wondering why I got 99 fire making in the first place.
Why not?
Yeah, that's right. I was trying to be like Brad.
Were you?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Let's see. There was also a good video that was made, and somebody suggested I use the song We Didn't Start the Fire. Because I forgot my tinderbox at my 99 fire making event.
That's embarrassing.
Yep.
Classic Shane, everyone.
Yeah, and that was before the tool belt. But anyways, I digress. Anything else on these D&D improvements from either of you?
Nope.
Nope. Not really. I mean, Evil Tree scales with your farming and woodcutting level.
Yay.
And then... Oh, new rewards were added to Fish Flingers. That's good. Fish Flingers is great XP.
Yeah, I agree.
I've got 14 tickets saved up for it.
Mm-hmm.
Save them for that fishing skill of the month that's inevitably coming.
That already happened.
Oh, it did? Oh, okay. Well... In that case, let us move on to the patch notes for this week. First up, the entrance to Death's office has been greatly improved. Well, I would hope so, given that is where everyone who dies ends up spawning. So
yeah.
It used to be just a little purple portal.
So are there, like, white shining gates now? Or
No, there are no pearly gates. It is still very ominous being in Draenor. So... But it's a lot more noticeable, so that's good. You'll notice it right on the road. The Prawn Broker's featherless fishing perk will now only allow one type of feather to be overridden at a time to prevent unwanted extra clicks when fly fishing. This can be toggled at the Prawn Broker, and I do believe this is something we said on the update when we were talking about the aquarium, that something like this should be there, so that is good.
Have they fixed the butler going into the butler's drowning yet?
That I do not know. I mean,
they did fix where'd it go? Player owned house servants will no longer get stuck when following players.
Well, I mean, okay, but I actually yes, the butler one was on the week that followed the aquarium. I remember that now. So that did get fixed.
Oh, good.
Maybe they listen.
Oh, I'm sure someone at Jagex does. There's been lots of little, you know, weird coincidences throughout the years.
Hey, people at Jagex, send us a message. We'd like to talk to you.
Players with their private chat switched off will now broadcast their rare drops to players in their immediate vicinity to prevent bossing groups from being scammed.
What?
Yeah, you know how, like, if you get a pair of Torva boots or something like that, it says it out to the entire world?
Uh-huh.
So if you turn private off, it'll only be to people, you know, within earshot of you.
Oh, but before, if you turned it off, then it wouldn't broadcast at all?
Well, no, it would still broadcast it.
And what's the point?
Yeah.
Well, I think the thing is that people, you know, when we're having trade requests or, you know, messages come in from people who would see these and attempt to scam them. And I guess maybe there were some people getting scammed, though. I think if you're getting a high level drop from an NPC, you're going to know what you want to do with that.
Where is this in the patch notes?
Just search for players with private chat or players with their private chat. You'll see it. It's there. I don't know.
That's weird. It doesn't make sense.
I had the same thought about being scammed, but maybe because we don't do PVM, this kind of scam isn't aware. But, I mean, it's entirely up to you who you trade with. There's no way someone can come in and scoop your item if you're in a God Wars dungeon or something like that.
Yes.
Anyways. The action bar will no longer be minimized during ports random events. Yippee! It's been a problem as long as I can remember.
How many bug reports did you send in, Shane?
None on this one, because I actually thought it was a design feature.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Players can now check their completionist and trimmed completionist cape requirements under the Heroes tab, along with a toggle to hide completed requirements.
Oh boy, more toggles.
And we're forcing people, well, not forcing people, we're slowly just, you know, providing people a gentle nudge. Hey, go complete our game. Go complete our game. Get a completionist cape. Yeah, I honestly have the same feeling about this, because if people are going to want a completionist cape, they should know where to look to get the requirements of these. You shouldn't, you know, be outright encouraging people to do this, and ultimately I think this is just not what the game needs.
That's a topic for another show, though.
It would be. It really would be. And finally, Armadillo. Oops, I don't know why I said Armadillo.
Armadillo. The god Armadillo, everyone.
Armadillo crossbows now are level 75 range to be consistent with other God Wars weapons. Previously,
and they added an offhand 70 version.
They did?
Uh-huh.
When was this?
This week.
Oh my god. I missed that one. That's beautiful.
It's literally right above it.
Oh. Oh dear.
Shane, do you not read the patch notes?
Of course I read the patch notes. I read them religiously.
Well, clearly you're not very devoted to your religion.
Oh, it's expensive.
That's great. That's excellent. I mean, there really was a lack of offhand ranged crossbows in the game. This is the best part of the update this week.
Yeah, and you would have missed it.
It's currently going for 15.5 million, and it's been going up.
Ooh, I should go solo the commander.
Uh-huh.
That'd be good.
You have fun with that.
Oh yeah, I will. Oh, I will. I need a new challenge. I can do the QBD blindfolded now, you know?
Really?
Yeah?
Really?
I know what all the sounds are.
I would like to see that.
Well, I'm not, you know, going to post a video of it, but
why not?
Well, I'll let someone do it.
Deliver, and... OP. Deliver.
OP plus.
Well, maybe next time Mike is here, I'll blindfold myself and do it, and I'll show him.
And you'll blindfold Mike and make him do it, you mean?
No. I'll do it. I'll do it.
Will you?
Yes.
All right, I'm holding you to that.
I hope I didn't get myself into anything bad.
Oh, yeah, you did.
Not yet. Yeah, you're going to die. You'll get to test out the new death system again.
But he won't see it.
He won't get to see it.
Anything else from the patch notes aside from...
Rip in peace, Shane.
You know, rip means rest in peace, right?
No, it doesn't.
Oh. All right.
Requiescat in pace, Shane.
All right.
Philistine.
Translate?
It basically means rest in peace.
Oh. Okay. I assume like, that's Latin?
It's like, yes? May he rest in peace or something. Oh,
okay. For anyone who didn't know, Earth has taken many years of Latin at school, so he can translate some phrases.
Some phrases. Thanks! Thanks for summing up my entire Latin education into he can translate some phrases.
Well,
thanks. Thanks.
You've done a good job with everything I've sent you so far, so I mean I've not heard you speak it, but
yeah.
I just said some phrases because that's all I've needed from you, and I mean I totally trust your abilities and the education you've received.
Thank you.
Yes.
Doesn't make up for what you said.
I'm sorry.
Good.
All right. Anything else on the patch notes?
I got nothing.
Magic guy?
Nope.
All righty.
Guy?
Yes.
All right.
I just find the C and the K hard to say together, Magic King. So, Rune Labs Halloween. That is the current poll that people can choose from.
And the good one is winning.
Yeah, I voted for that. Though I briefly contemplated voting for the Broken Home sequel.
I'm resigning.
Why would you do that?
I said I briefly considered. I didn't do it.
That's good, because I would resign.
I voted for Ichthyrin and Amaskit. That one is currently in first place with 41% of the vote, followed by Spectres of War at 27%, and the Broken Home sequel at 16%.
In last place, where it belongs.
Actually, in last place, I Don't Mind at 14%.
Wait, what?
I Don't Mind is at 14%.
Oh, that doesn't count.
Okay. Spectres of War is basically going to be a combat and divination event where you'll be putting to rest all the souls of World Event 2, that is the... Armadil and Bandos World event. So that is one idea you could go for. Ichthyrin versus Amaskit is basically a mini world event, probably about a week long, similar to the previous world events we've seen. It'll be focused on prayer and divination. And Broken Home, well, that's just adding more rewards to the replays of Broken Home, which I don't think any of us have gone back to replay.
No.
I still haven't done it the first time.
Good.
All right, well, there's your polling update. Vote accordingly, if you so choose, though I think at this point it's pretty much decided which one's going to win. And hey, it's Halloween, and we don't need to, you know, have an event where somebody's got a fear of spider legs, as was going to be the story last year until Jagex stepped in.
Okay.
So let's talk about something that has generated a lot of XP this week, and that's the Treasure Hunter Smoldering Lamps.
Oh boy.
So what are the numbers that you were mentioning in pre-show?
Well, I just pulled something out of my ass. I don't actually remember what the values were other than they were inordinate. Let me go look this up. So this week, XP gained thus far in 3 days and 6 hours, 142 million experience.
Mm-hmm.
Week one, this is week five, in 3 days and a bit. Overall XP.
Yeah.
Week one, that was week five. To compare, week one, the max was 110 million. Then week two was 111 million. Week three was just 81 million. And week four was 118 million. And keep in mind, this is the whole week. So people have already passed that by quite a bit in just 3 days. So, yeah.
Yeah. And I just want to preface this by saying that smoldering lamps are identical to normal lamps, except they use your bonus XP. Now, this is basically handing out, well, very big lamps, and there's a reason these events only occur every so often, and that is because of these numbers that we're seeing right here. So I would just like to remind everyone that while these numbers seem huge, the people who are, you know, engaging in this activity of using these lamps are in turn subsidizing the game that we all know and love.
All right, so how do the lamps work?
Well, say you get one and you you want to use it on a skill where you have, 400k bonus XP.
All right.
It's basically just free XP from any normal lamp, except it uses your bonus XP with it.
Oh, okay. So, like, you have a lamp that's normally give you, say, 20k XP, but you have a ton of bonus XP, so you'd get 40k XP from it.
Yes.
I see.
That is the sole difference between a smoldering lamp and a regular lamp.
Interesting.
Now, you know, there are always going to be people out there at the top end and the bottom end. And whether it be, you know, somebody who is gaining 2 XP a week or somebody who's gaining however many millions of XP a week, these people are there and they do draw attention. So I personally don't see what all the uproar is about. It's subsidizing the game, and if you don't like them, you don't need to use them. Your achievements are still your own. But I mean, I got one this week on the Treasure Hunter, and I had bonus XP in farming, so I just used it. But it's not something I would go out of the way to buy. But, yeah. Do you guys think it goes too far?
Yes.
It doesn't affect me, so I don't really care.
All right.
So,
you don't want to expand on that further, or is that good?
Okay, so, like, in Star Trek Online, you can buy these fantastic ships and blow stuff up, and they're great, and you can pay real money for them, so it's pay to win. But with RS, let's face it, it's a single player game with people there.
Yeah.
So it doesn't affect me if someone else buys stuff so that they can get numbers faster than I.
Exactly, and that's the same way I look at it. And Paul and I were discussing this too, and he described it, you know, somewhat less eloquently than I did. I'm not going to use his exact words here because they're not appropriate, but it sums it up.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyways, Magic, do you want to expand on why you don't like it?
Oh no, I just feel like the game is becoming too completionist, and this is just catering to them.
All right.
Back in my day.
And, you know, I totally agree with that sentiment as well. And, I mean, this will just make those people get there faster, and maybe they'll start an Iron Man, and we won't have to deal with this. So I think there are better ways of dealing with the whole completionist aspect rather than this. But that's a topic we can posit somewhere else, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Alrighty. Next up, some changes at the top of the RuneScape team. I'm just going to read these off and I'll say what they are. Mod Osborne is now the lead designer of RuneScape.
Oh, good.
That's a fairly significant promotion, considering previously I believe he was just in charge of lore.
I like that guy.
Yep. Mod Connor is now the senior producer. And Mod Drew is taking over Mod Dean, who left Jagex, as the content development manager. And just a reminder to everyone, Mod Pips is the head of studio, so he, you know, manages everything Jagex related in terms of game development. And Mod Mark is taking on a wider aspect of studio design director. So that is the general direction that everything at Jagex will go. So those are your top three people now who are handling everything RS related. I'm very happy to see Mod Osborne up there as well. So congratulations to them.
Yay.
Ooh.
So it's summertime is approaching and Jagex would like us to enter their swimmer summer.
Failure.
Yes, very much. the summer sweepstake. I don't know why that was so hard to say, but anyways, it's a little contest that you can enter, you know, to win some interesting things. So, for example, Alienware laptop at the top, and some runner-ups will receive the Razer Chroma Suite, which is basically a Black Widow Chroma keyboard, Chroma headset, and Naga Epic Chroma mouse, and assorted goodies provided by Razer. And for anyone who doesn't know, Razer's Chroma line is a line that can change colors to any color that you want. 16.8 million colors is what their LEDs can produce. So if you want a pink mouse, you can do it. If you want purple, that can be done as well. Red, no problem.
Oh boy.
Yeah, so I mean, you could definitely win that or a laptop or lots of interesting things. Very painless to enter this competition. You just head on over to the competition page. I've included a direct link in the show notes at update.rsbnb.com. Enter in your email address and RuneScape name. And if you share it on your social pages, you get an extra two entries for anyone who signs up underneath you.
Oh, boy. So, yeah, so is this your link, Shane?
No, I did not include my link because I thought, you know, I'm not going to do that. I don't need extra entries.
Oh, you don't need extra entries.
No, I don't want them. I figured I'd do it the, you know, straight and honest way.
Well, that's a first.
It is? I always thought I was straight and honest.
Well, you always say take any advantage you can.
In a competition. Yes.
This is a competition, though.
Well, I guess. But I feel I've hired duty as podcast host, you know?
All right.
Yes.
If you say so.
Indeed. This closes on June 8th at 2359 BST. So you can read the rules and whatnot all on the same page that is linked at update.rsbnb.com.
Oh, boy.
Mm-hmm. What do we got next?
What the hell is that tab? There it is. Oh no, it's not Paul, is it?
No, no. No Paul this week.
Yes! Summer special membership offer.
Yeah. I mean, if you already have membership and you've had membership for a long time, I don't like saying this, but you can kind of ignore this. Same goes for the Gold Premier Club members and people who had had the, you know, 12 months of membership I was talking about.
Wait, don't
about.
I already have the Enlightenment Aura?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Because you've had 12 months of membership.
Uh-huh.
And you got it from last year.
But, uh-huh.
So basically the idea is that, well, if you need members for the summer, so this is a very good deal for anyone out there who is off for the summer from school or something like that and you want to play RS.
So how much is it and for how long?
You get 3 months Let's see if I can get an American price here. I honestly didn't get the American price because I didn't think I'd be asked about prices.
Well, you thought wrong, sir.
Oh, how nice. It puts it in Canadian for me, so you guys are going to have to get the American price, but it's $19.99 Canadian.
Isn't that... Aren't those like a one-to-one ratio, though, usually? Because our
Not
economies
anymore.
Are so intertwined.
Not anymore.
All right.
What is it for you guys?
I mean... fine. Do I have to log in and do this?
No. Just click the link that I sent in Skype and scroll down.
$18.99. Normally $25.99.
No, so it's a dollar cheaper for you guys. Okay.
Ha ha.
And that's a good deal when you think about it, because, you know, as it said, $25.99 is what you'd pay, and if you were paying month to month, you'd be paying, well, close to $30 if we're $9.99. So definitely worth it just for the summer if you're planning on playing. You don't want to worry about bonds and stuff like that. So definitely pick this up. You'll get the Cosmic Foresight effect, which is a passive that lets you gain reputation from the Gobi homeworld, which is in relation to the raids that are coming this summer.
What kind of raids?
Basically, raids like World of Warcraft raids, so multi-person combat instances.
All right. Cool.
Yep. And, of course, the Enlightenment Aura, 1 hour bonus XP every week. Yeah, with this.
Wait, every week or every day?
Every week.
Oh, okay. So you get 2 hours of bonus XP per week.
Where do you get two from?
Isn't it 2 hours?
No,
no, it's one.
That was last year. It was two.
Oh, so they took it back down.
Exactly.
Sneaky, sneaky, Jagex.
Yeah. So that's the summer special. Very good. It's almost like a summer special when you go out to your favorite restaurant. Always get the special.
No, never get the special. It's what they want to get rid of.
No, not if it's like a high-end restaurant and they're serving you like the fresh seasoned lobster or something, you know?
Okay, Shane.
And finally, we got a behind-the-scenes video for the Tuska event, which is coming on June 1st. It'll last for 30 days. It's collaborative. And the pre-event has already started with a Tuska face appearing on everyone's screen last Sunday. And
oh, is this like the strange power thing that made everyone go up in the air for a bit and spin around?
Exactly. Yeah, this was kind of similar, except it actually appeared on the screen. And Jagex put out a tweet of someone's reaction to it. The guy said he took an onion out of the pouch at the exact tick that this happened, and he thought he was responsible for it.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
You can't take an onion out of a pouch, sir. You're going to bring doom upon us all.
Yep, put that onion back.
Mm-hmm.
But every day you can find a few meteors, get small XP lamps worth of XP, and mysterious relics that will be useful during the event. So that is something that is fairly common. I've met my cap every day that I've been farming this week, so they are very common.
Cool.
Tuska is very large in this world event. Will take place in, ready, Reed?
In?
Space.
Space?
Yes.
Space.
Indeed. Oh. So we're going to be teleported onto this asteroid that is actually Tuska, and we will need to defeat it in space. So it's totally different from anything we've had before. You'll be able to align with Armadil, Ceridoman, Zamorak, or the Godless. We'll talk more about that later. And, of course, the more days that the community wins means you're more likely to save the world. XPs featured in this will be Slayer, Agility, and Woodcutting. and a new set of hybrid Warpriest armor will appear, along with an ability, emotes, and titles.
Yay, more things.
Yeah, and they also mentioned that there will actually be consequences this time around, and there is a very high chance that if players are not successful, Tuska will hit the world.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, so I'm not getting too optimistic just yet, because I've said there hasn't been enough consequences from the previous world events, so I'm hoping something will happen from this, if the players are not successful.
You think the players will be, Shane?
I don't know. I honestly don't know.
I don't think so.
Nah, I hope so. Is their faction helping Tuska?
I don't think so.
Huh.
It's all collaborative, and it's just going to be, you know, you can tweak it a bit. So do your actions benefit either Armadil, Saradomin, or the Godless? So there's no way to, you know, sabotage other players. They said they did want this one to be more collaborative than outright faction versus faction.
Eh, I mean, I guess it would be in everyone's... It wouldn't be good for anyone if a giant asteroid came and crashed into the world, right?
Yeah, they might, you know, move a couple more farming patches or make the farming patches disappear for good this time.
Where'd it go? Shane flipped a shit when the first world event came out and his farming patch moved. I've never heard him freak out that much, even when playing StarCraft.
I don't think it was that big of a freak out.
You were distraught.
Okay, whatever you say.
I was there.
Okay.
Can confirm.
Alrighty. Well, that's it for RS updates this week, everyone. We got an audio question now from the RR Man.
Hey guys, it's RR Man here. Just a couple of quick questions. First off, which antivirus software do you use on your computer? I know Shane probably can't tell me this because of his immortal Mac, but Earth, what have you got? I'm using Avast at the moment, but it just seems so slow now. I hear that some people even decide not to use an antivirus because, you know, they know what they're doing, but I still reckon that's a bad idea. Thoughts? And Tuska! Who are you guys going for? Probably going to go for the Godless. I was watching that video and I have a feeling it's just going to be Saradomin all the way down. Oh, and there's the ding on my ports. Time to get back to RuneScape. Peace out.
Alrighty, yeah. Thank you, RR Man. Antivirus. Yeah, I don't use Windows day to day, but...
I got this.
Yes, as he said.
My question. Alright, so you're going to be wanting to use Microsoft Security Essentials, or if you're in Windows, what, 8?
Yep.
And on, it's called Windows Defender, and you already have it. Just make sure that's on. I would also recommend that you use something called Malwarebytes. And just have that, install that and have that running in the background. You can also get another one and run it too called Spybot Search and Destroy, which is a fantastic name. Now for malware removal, there are three tools I use. One is called rkill, and that'll kill any rootkits currently running on your computer. So you can run these other two, and they can actually do stuff. Because, I mean, once something's in your system, it doesn't want to leave, right? And those are called rkill, combo fix, and ADW cleaner. I can provide a link in the show notes.
Please
for
do
that. But, yeah. So, use those. If anyone else tells you to use anything else, they are wrong. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's good. And I would actually I would have one thing that I would like to add to this. I believe it's, is it MRT?
Huh?
Microsoft's MRT malicious software removal tool.
Oh yeah, that. That's good.
Yeah, how do you access that again?
I haven't the slightest idea.
Okay. Let's see. So the malicious software removal tool is available from Microsoft. So yeah, just Google Microsoft malicious software removal tool, and it will get you going on that. That's another good thing to do if you know you're infected, because Microsoft does keep a pretty good handle these days on infections and stuff like that. But I would totally second the Windows Defender or Microsoft Security Essential options.
Yeah, don't,
for good free
don't use anything else.
Yep.
Yeah, because anything else from a technical standpoint just gets its hooks too deep in the system, and that's why it slows down.
For the love of God, do not use Norton or McAfee.
Yeah, those are bad.
If you use those,
you deserve a virus.
Well, you don't deserve one. You've already got one. You think I'm joking?
No, not at all.
I'm not joking.
I've actually heard that analogy made many times before, so.
You know why?
Because they behave like viruses and don't let you remove them.
Uh-huh. You may want to Google a removal tool for a vest, too. I'm not sure how
prolific.
Yeah.
I've noticed that AVG has gotten pretty bad as well.
Oh, God, that used to be the lightweight one way back in the day.
Yeah, no, it's turned into a McAfee.
And that's it for RSVNB Update, everyone. I have to regretfully inform you that as of this time in the podcast recording, when we were doing this on Friday, we had a bit of a technical issue with the recording setup. And as a result, the trailing few questions and tech news followed by our end of show wrap up, unfortunately, did not get recorded. But for those of you guys who did submit questions for this episode, we will answer those next week, as it doesn't feel right to leave questions unanswered. And before I let you guys all go for this week, I would like to just take a quick run through of this week's achievements of the week. We have Tyler with 99 crafting on May 26th, followed by Lunastra with 99 divination on the 25th. Clawton also got 99 attack on the 22nd of May. Lunastra appears once again with 99 agility on the 19th of May. And finally, the RR Man got 99 attack on May 16th. So congratulations to everyone. Some great achievements this week. We always love hearing about those. And of course, before we say goodbye for this week, I'd like to remind everybody to take our listener survey and tell us a bit about yourself and the demographics that you fit into with respect to RSBNB Update. You can do that by visiting update.rsbnb.com/survey. Fill that out. We don't ask for any personal information, but we do just like to get a picture of what our listener base looks like once a year, give or take. So we would very much appreciate that if you would fill that out. And finally, with that being said, if anybody needs to find either of us on RuneScape, you can find me at Shane12088 or Earth at Lord Earth. See you next week, everyone, for what will hopefully be a fuller show of RSVNB Update on episode 520.